the fruit of long-suffering. Now, the English word long-suffering comes from two Greek words, and you have these in your notes, makro, which means slow, and thumos, which means wrath. And it is defined as slow to wrath or long endurance or patience. And so we're talking about the fruit of long-suffering or the attribute of endurance and patience in our life. Now, long-suffering is an original attribute of the Lord. The Bible says in Exodus 34, 6, there in your notes, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. The Lord is long-suffering. And many of us know the long-suffering of the Lord. Many of us know the patience that God has with us. Many of us know that God has endured some things with us probably for a longer season than should have been. And we're thankful for that. And God wants us to have that attribute be a part of our life as well. The Bible says in Numbers 14, 18, the Lord is long-suffering and of a great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. And we're thankful for God's forgiveness. We're thankful for his long-suffering and that work in our lives. And we want that to be manifested in our lives as well. Now, we live in a day where we want retribution. If somebody does something to us, we want something done back to them. We want the score settled. We want things to be fair. We want people to get what they deserve. When Abraham Lincoln was practicing law, he was approached by a man who wanted revenge, and he was begging Lincoln to take the case because he wanted to bring a suit against a man who owed him $2.50. And Abraham Lincoln did everything that he could to discourage this man from filing the lawsuit, but to no avail. This man was persistent in wanting to sue this man who owed him $2.50. And so finally, Lincoln agreed to take the case and the condition that the man would pay the legal fee of $10. The plaintiff eagerly paid the money, wishing to see his debtor come to justice. And so Lincoln took the case. He took half of the money and he gave it to the defendant, who then confessed and paid his debt, and the case was dismissed. Now, the plaintiff wanted revenge, but he really ended up paying for it himself. And you know what? So oftentimes in life, that's what happens. We want revenge. We want somebody to get what they deserve. We want the score to be settled. We want things righted in our own minds. But many times, we end up paying for that because of bitterness or the anger that it brings in our life, because we're harboring this situation or this occurrence or whatever may have taken place, and we want to know that it's going to be settled or that it's going to be right, and it just begins to eat us up inside. And we need to follow Christ's example of patience and long-suffering and forgiveness and these types of things. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God, one of the evidences of that is long-suffering, a patience, an endurance, an ability to handle things that are not going our way in a way that still honors and pleases the Lord. And it's not developed on our own. This is not something you and I can hear about this morning and leave here and say, I am determined to bear long suffering. I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more kind and forgiving in my life. It doesn't work that way in our own strength. It is only developed as we, as followers of Jesus Christ, a Christian, a believer, experience the growth that God has intended for you and I from the Spirit that's living in us and from the time that we're spending in His Word and in prayer each and every day. And then coming to an environment like this for church and class and so on. Listen, God doesn't intend anybody in this room to be the same 7 days from now. God expects all of us to grow. And so we've got to have a growth plan. What are we going to do this week to grow? What are we going to read in God's Word? What are we going to spend time talking to Him in prayer? Do we have a list of things we're praying for? Are we going to be in church tonight? How about Wednesday? What's our growth plan? What are we doing to grow? What are we doing to evidence the fact that we are a Christian? This isn't something we're going to do on our own. We're learning about great things. We're learning about characteristics and attributes that we have to have, but they are not characteristics and attributes that we can produce on our own. They come from God, and we've got to go after His help, and He indeed will give it to us. So how can we have long-suffering? How can we follow the Lord's example in this way? And I want us to look this morning at three areas of long-suffering and how it can be implemented and helpful in our everyday lives as we follow the example of Jesus Christ. Number one, I want us this morning to look at the perseverance of long-suffering. The perseverance of long-suffering. Now, long-suffering enables you and I to persevere during the trials of life. I think we're all old enough to know that life has trials. Life has troubles. Every day doesn't go as we plan. Everything doesn't work out the way we thought we would. It's not all a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow or whatever the case may be. Life is going to have some bumps along the way. There's going to be some things that turn out a little differently than maybe we anticipated, and we need long-suffering to persevere during a time of trial or testing or trouble in our life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and afflictions and necessities, in distresses." Now, the Apostle Paul had patience, and he exhibited that patience oftentimes in the midst of adversity, in a time of difficulty. It was evident that he was a child of God. Boy, when Paul was going through the fire, he handled it differently than most people. And it was an evidence there's something different about this man. And what was different about the Apostle Paul was not the Apostle Paul. It was the God who lived inside the Apostle Paul, who had changed his life and was beginning to use him in a mighty way. And that's what we want to be said about our lives today. Now, we find a similar statement in James chapter 5 and verse 10. "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." When we persevere, when we endure, when we exhibit patience and the right kind of demeanor through a trial, it gives you and I a platform to be a testimony for the Lord. Listen, when everything is going good and we're not being tested, and we say, boy, God is so good and I can trust in Him, nobody knows if it's real or not because it's never been tested. But when we go through a time of trial or trouble, something we would not have otherwise have chosen for ourselves, and God gets us through that and we're still smiling, now that's an evidence that God's real. And God will allow us to go through these things because He's building our faith, and He's giving us an opportunity to be a witness to others as well. And so there's a perseverance that long-suffering brings. Now, one of the fundamental characteristics of greatness is the ability to endure and persevere and to make it through difficult times. And back in May 29th of 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary became the first man to accomplish the daunting task of climbing Mount Everest, the highest mountain known to man. Now, he was highly recognized for this achievement. He was knighted for his efforts. His name was placed in the portals of history. It was indeed an amazing success that we're still talking about today, and the first of its kind in that way of an achievement. But when you read his biography, you learn that in 1953, when he accomplished that, that was not his first attempt to climb Mount Everest. But back in 1952, he attempted to climb Mount Everest, and he failed. A few weeks later, he was addressing a large gathering of people in England, and as he made his way to the lectern to make his presentation, he was met with a thunderous applause, and the people were applauding the fact that he had tried what appeared to be an impossible feat, but he himself felt himself to be a failure. When he gave his speech, he stepped aside from the lectern, and he took his fist and he clenched it, and then he faced toward a large portrait of the Mount Everest that they had there at that banquet hall. And as he looked at that portrait with his fist clenched, he said, "Mount Everest, you beat me the first time, but I will beat you the next time, because you have grown all you're going to grow, but I am still growing." And just a year later, he completed and got to the top of Mount Everest. Now, that spirit is the spirit you and I have to have as well. We have to have a determination, I'm going to keep growing. Why? Because if you have a price Satan has a payment. If in your mind all it takes is A, B, or C and you're out the door and God is over, then Satan knows what that is and he'll surely bring you the opportunity. But if in your mind and heart you say, nothing's going to get me away from God, nothing is going to derail my faith, nothing is going to make me go back to my old ways, God helping me, I am going to endure whatever this world may bring, God giving me the ability of long suffering and patience, I'm going to stay at whatever God has for me. A persistent and patient approach to getting through a time of trial and discouragement. Listen, we're all going to face times of trial and discouragement. But when God is in us, working his work and giving us the attribute of long suffering, endurance, patience, then we can make it through with his help. So long suffering brings perseverance. Notice letter A, we persevere because of God's purpose. As Christians, when you and I face a time of trial, we don't just see it as a happenstance. Listen, nothing ever encounters your life or my life without God knowing about it. Nothing ever enters in my life without going across God's desk first. It's all Father filtered. God has never looked at me going through anything and said, whoa, what happened to Gabe today? That's never happened. He knew. God knew. And by the way, God knows what you're going through as well. And you say, well, I don't understand how God can know what I'm going through and still allow it. Listen to me. We live in a very wicked world. Sin is a cruel master, and there's a lot of hurting things happening today. And so often God's people want to step back and say, why are so many bad things happening to good people? But have you ever thought, why does anything good ever happen to any of us? I don't deserve it. If I got what I deserve this morning, I would spend an eternity in hell. God tells me that in his word. But that's not where I'm going. I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven because God loved me and he gave his son and Jesus Christ loved me and he gave his life. And that is more than I will ever deserve. And God has been so good to me. And if I'm not careful, I can live my life focusing on everything I don't have and wondering why it's not better rather than seeing that I have indeed been blessed. God has been good to me. I have more now than I will ever deserve, and I am so thankful unto the Lord for his goodness. And hey, if I face some tough times or some trials or some seasons of discouragement, that's part of life. God is with me. He's promised to never leave me nor forsake me, and he will get me through on top side. We can persevere because we can be assured of the purpose of the Lord. Now, what are the purposes of God? And there are three of them. And I don't know if you have these in your notes or not, but I believe you do have the scriptures. First, God brings trials into our lives for correction. Sometimes God allows things to come into our life to get our attention. Notice in Hebrews 12 and verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Listen, you and I may be going through a season of discouragement, a trial, or trouble today because God is saying, hey, wake up. You're going the wrong way. Turn around. Stop doing what you're doing. You're going to get hurt. You need a change of direction. Sometimes that's why they come. And God tells us, God does that because he loves us. If you pick up your kids today from class and they go running out into the middle of the street and put themselves in harm's way, you are going to remove them from the street. You may not do it carefully. You may not do it kindly. You might do it abruptly. They might look at you and say, Mom or Dad is mad. Why are they red in the face or whatever, you know? But you know you're trying to save their life. And sometimes God looks at you and I as we live our own life and we're in places we should not be, doing things we should not be doing with people we should not be with. And God says, get over here. And sometimes there might be something in our life that God is using as a wake-up call. Hey, examine where you are and what's happening. And if that's where we are this morning, we need to thank God. Thank God he's not leaving us out there to ruin our life and not care. But because of his love, he's getting us back where we need to be. And can I tell you something? If you don't like it, then turn around. Oh, I don't like it when God chastens me. Then stop disobeying. This is a really profound lesson. But it's so true. If we don't like where we are and we are there by our own choosing, then let's make the adjustments we need to make. Because God wants to bless the obedient, but he is certainly going to lovingly chase those in whom correction is needed. So sometimes the person of the Lord's correction. Secondly, God sometimes brings trials into our life to challenge us. The Bible says in Psalms 119:71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Now that's a weird verse. I don't know that that's something we've prayed in a while, but look at it here. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Here, David is saying, I'm glad I went through some trials because I learned some stuff in those trials I never would have learned any other way. Wow. David recognized that there were some things he went through. Now, by the way, David went through correction too. You read the life of David, and boy, he took his licks. He took his medicine at time at his own decision-making. But there were some trials that God also allowed into his life because it deepened his faith and it gave him a hunger for the Word of God. And in that moment, he learned more than he ever would have learned without it. And you and I may be going through a difficult time today, and God is just challenging us. He's testing us. He's preparing us. He's equipping us. He's investing in us. He's making us ready for something great. And if God is sending us through a trial and we don't feel like we're in need of correction and we're not necessarily living in opposition to his will, then it may just be a challenge that God is saying, hey, I want to use you in a special way, but you got to learn something that you can only learn in a season of trial. And sometimes the purpose is to challenge you and I. But then thirdly, sometimes God brings trials into our lives so that he can use us in a greater way. I think of the life of Joseph and the book of Genesis, and we don't have time to develop, but being sold into slavery and being used of the Lord in a great way. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is to this day to save much people alive. And we can read about the life of Joseph and think, man, his brothers hated him, and he was sold into slavery, and he was lied about in the house of Potiphar, and he was falsely imprisoned, and he was forgotten about, and he had all of these injustices done to him in his life. And boy, if anybody had a case to be angry and bitter and want everything to be justified and to be right, Joseph had it. But that wasn't Joseph's spirit. Joseph said, you know, I don't know why I'm here necessarily. I don't think I did something wrong, but God, while you have me here, can you use me here? And boy, he rose into power in Potiphar's house. He rose into power in the prison. He rose into power in the palace. And God used him in a mighty way. And at the end of his life, he's looking back over all that God allowed him to accomplish and saving people. And he said, people in my life meant this unto me for evil, but I see that God meant it unto good. I see looking back over my life and how it has been used by God that good was accomplished when people meant it for evil. God may be correcting you and I today, I don't know. God may be challenging you and I today to increase our faith. Or God may be giving us a platform to use us in a way that we would have never have otherwise been used without the trial we're going through. I was looking down here and I saw Tanisha on the second row, and I forget how long it was, a couple years that she went without being able to eat food and all of these types of things that she's been through. But you know what? I shook David and Tanisha's hand at the 8:30 service, and there they were, smiles, beaming, in church, listening to the Word of God, and just loving the Lord. You know, sometimes God lets us go through some things that we would not otherwise understand, because he has something he's trying to accomplish. I remember with Charles and Amy, when we prayed and prayed and prayed that God would save the life of their baby. And both have testified since then. You know, Brother Rule, we can see now that God allowed us to go through that because now we can be a blessing and help to others. And God is going to do that in our life, and we have to trust his purpose. But then letter B, we can persevere because of God's priority. Because of God's priority. We persevere because we know that there's a divine priority. We see in Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen, God has a priority. God has a work he is trying to accomplish in our life, and at times, to get there, it's going to involve some ingredients we may not have chosen for ourselves, but God indeed knows what he is doing. Someone said in a moment of adversity, we want God to do a removing job. But often he's looking to do an improving job. And I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I just want to encourage you, God is with you. And God will give you the long suffering to persevere, to make it through, to come out topside. He's got a purpose for your life. Now, it may be a correction. It may be a challenge. He may be using you in a great way. But he's got a priority, something he wants to accomplish. And whatever you're going through is part of it. We just have to trust him and know that he will accomplish that work in you and I. So the perseverance of long-suffering. But then notice, secondly this morning, the influence of long-suffering. The influence of long-suffering. Now, Moso is a bamboo plant that grows in China. And one of the interesting things about Moso is that when you plant it for 5 years, it has no visible signs of growth whatsoever. For 5 years, what you can see on the top is the same. Then after that period of 5 years, it grows at a rate of 2.5 feet a day, reaching its full height of over 90 feet in less than 6 weeks. Now, what's amazing about this particular a bamboo plant is that during that 5 years, when you can see nothing, what's happening is the miles of roots that's being developed underneath. And once that is accomplished, then the rapid growth takes place. Listen, God is going to allow some things in our lives because he has growth in our future. And he knows to sustain that growth and to use that growth for his honor and glory, we've got to have the right root system. And we're not going to put some roots down and really get rooted and grounded if we're not taking some hard knocks. And God's going to allow some times of testing to come into our life to help us to put some roots down so that we can grow and accomplish something for him. There's an influence here that God has intended for you and I to bear out. We need to be still and know that he is God. Someone said long-suffering is the grace of a man who could revenge himself but chooses not to. And a Christian who is long-suffering during his trials and his times of discouragement will have a greater influence on the lives of others, first of all, in their families. And we want to have a greater influence with our families. We see that unsaved families are arguing and screaming and dysfunctional getting divorced and kids hate mom and dad and so on and so on. And it's a terrible display of what God intended. But the Christian home should exhibit long-suffering and unconditional love. There should be a difference in our home because we have God in us and we have this, the fruit of long-suffering, that we have an endurance, that we have a patience. Listen, a good marriage is not the sum of finding the right person. A good marriage is the sum of being the right person. When you stood at a marriage altar and you said, "I do till death do us part," you're done. Your options are over. Your option today forward is fix it. Make it right. Make it work. With God it will. That's your option. Well, if we didn't have all these problems, we probably would be doing better like so-and-so. Listen, every marriage and every family in this room has problems. The good ones learned how to solve them, and the ones that are dysfunctional haven't learned how to solve them yet. And I don't say that in a mean spirit. I'm just saying the ground's level to cross, friend. Everybody has problems. Everybody has difficulties. Everybody has things they're working through. But when God is working in us and through us, and we're developing the spirit of long-suffering, and we're bearing that fruit and that evidence, and then in our home, it's not a chaotic, dysfunctional mess, but there's long-suffering, there's patience, there's unconditional love, there's working things through, and we're having an influence on our spouse, and we're having an influence on our children, and there's not corrupt communication coming out of our mouth, but there's love, and there's forgiveness in our home. We as Christians need to be full-time ministers of grace in our families, in our marriages, and with our children. And listen, if our faith isn't real at home, then it's not real. You know where our long suffering is going to be put to the test sometimes in the most intense way? At home. Because we get around people that we know so well and our guard is down. And sometimes things are said that should not be said, or actions take place that should not happen. And there's got to be long suffering and endurance and patience and love and forgiveness in the arena of our home. It'll help us to have a greater influence for the Lord. But then let her be with others around us as well. God wants our patient spirit to influence those in our church, our community, our place of employment. We should not be known as the one that's always flying off the handle. We should not be known as the one that can never keep an even keel. But because we have God in us, because we have a growth plan, because we're in church and in the Word of God and in the prayer closet, because God is doing something in us that we see that is bigger than who we are on our own, then when things happen around us that we cannot change, it doesn't get us all flustered. It doesn't send us in a tailspin. We don't act like we don't know what to do, although we may not know what to do, but we're with the one who always does. And that's all that matters. We're with him. And God will see us through. And we can have an influence on others because of the way we handle a situation. And then lastly, this morning we see the deliverance of long-suffering. Because of God's long-suffering for us, he endeavors to deliver us. We see, letter A, the deliverance of salvation. We see in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, if you say, Brother Rule, I don't know if I have this in my life. I don't know if this is being developed in my heart. Listen, friend, it's a gift from God. It's only something that God can do. And it begins with knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because God was long-suffering, we can know Jesus Christ, and he can produce that in our life. And it may be this morning that we have to make the decision to place our faith and trust in Christ so that we can have the long-suffering we're learning about and hearing about from the Word of God. But you say, I already know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Then let it be the deliverance of the second coming. Listen, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we need to make that decision because God wants to produce long-suffering in you. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're going through a trial, can I remind you? He's coming back again. We're on the winning side. Just endure. Be patient. Have long-suffering. And let's not go through a difficult time without getting something from it. God, are you correcting me? Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, is there something in my life you want to bring to my attention? Lord, are you just trying to challenge and deepen my faith? Am I just experiencing some growing pains? Then help me to trust you. Or are you using me in a greater way? Is this going to allow me to accomplish more for your name's sake than I ever could have on my own? Help me to trust you and to be used by you in that way. And let's ask the Lord this week, help us to bear the fruit of long-suffering, patience, endurance. May we handle life differently because of who we handle it with. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for some time together in your Word today. Lord, I love our class, and I'm so thankful for what you're doing in each and every life. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to evidence the fact that we are a child of God. And may we do it even through long-suffering, patience, and endurance. May we handle things differently because of who we handle them with. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our class this week. May it be an evident that we are your child. Would you bless our fellowships tonight? Give us a great time together. Good fellowship, fun, good food, just a good time. I pray that everybody would come. Bless everyone in attendance today and give them a great week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.